Publishing, Gospel Music Association, Producing, Radio, and Records. Today, I'm Daniel Britt and Friends.
Welcome to Daniel Britt and Friends, an hour of good music and fun conversations featuring gospel music's brightest new artists, as well as legendary tributes and memories from its past. Now, here is Daniel Britt.
Sitting around our table, we have Ed Leonard, who is the president of Daywind Records, who is also the chairman and president of the Gospel Music Association and the vice chair of the Christian Booksellers Association. He is a father of nine and has no spare time. We have Rick Shelton, director of publishing for Daywind Records, and Donna Beauvais. Funny name, but serious about what she does, and she's a producer and director of radio for Daywind Records as well. So obviously, we've gathered some industry minds together to talk about what gospel music is doing today and maybe where the future lies. There are lots of questions, maybe not to the average fan, but for those who like the backstory and the inside story of the way things are changing and moving when you talk about digital music, when you talk about CD sales and marketing. So we're going to hopefully open your eyes, and hopefully by the end of this, there'll be some good news about where it's going. But guys, thanks for taking time to sit around the table here.
Thank you for having us.
So Ed, you have three or maybe even four different angles you can come at this from. Your history in gospel music and what you're doing kind of as your day job, and then when these other boards that you serve on with the Gospel Music Association, which deals in a broad sense with all of Christian music, and then with the marketing aspect of all of this with the CBA, the Christian Booksellers Association. So I guess, first of all, a little introduction as to how your career in this started.
I've been doing this for 18 years. My mom started New Day Christian Distributors 30 years ago, and New Day sells a variety of product, but started selling music to Christian bookstores all over the country back in 1981. And then she, several years later, developed Daywind Soundtracks along with a guy named Ronnie Drake, and it's the largest performance track company going right now in Christian music. And then they developed together Daywind Records, which had its first artist as the Cumberland Boys and the Gospel Brass. They did something together, and now has 12 artists from Greater Vision, Brian Freen Assurance, the Perrys, Booth Brothers, and more. A wide diversity of things that we do here, and as a result, I kind of see all angles, or at least most angles.
Well, and it seems like that people talk about record companies not being the same thing. When you say record company, you define that differently today than you did 10, 12, 20, 30 years ago, because times have changed. But when you talk about Daywind, it seems like that you guys have such a far-reaching impact with distribution, with publishing, with producing studios, servicing to radio, that it, correct me if I'm wrong, it sounds like you're more than just a record label.
We are. I call it the music business in microcosm. So we have, I mean, we do a lot of stuff, and nothing is huge, but it all works together, you know, to create a really nice, almost a ministry organization or an organization of different kinds of ministries. I mean, it's a for-profit corporation, but a lot of the stuff that we do, you know, we're supporting artists. We're trying to get their message out, and you know, a lot of it, at least, seems like ministry more often than not. So,
Is it safe to say that from the very initial birth of a song, from the songwriter all the way down to the purchaser at the retail stores, Daywind can handle all of that from A to Z?
We touch it all.
Yeah. Wow. Absolutely.
We even had a store for a little while.
Yeah, we did.
Not a very good location, but we even had a store. And we have some internet.
We tried. It smelled good when you walked in. Yeah. We had candles and stuff.
We're having a discussion with Donna Beauvais, radio promoter and producer, and director of publishing for Daywind Records, Rick Shelton, along with the vice chair of the Christian Booksellers Association, the president and chairman of the Gospel Music Association, and the president of Daywind Records, Ed Leonard, around our table. Here's Gold City.
It's not conservative or liberal, however they're defined. It's not about interpretation, or the judgment of the mind. It's the opposite of politics, power or prestige. It's about a simple message, and whether we believe, it's still the cross.
It's still the blood of Calvary
that cleanses sin
and sets the captive free. It's still the name.
Down theology and preach a word to suit our needs. We can justify sweet subtle lies that are wrapped in noble deeds. We can alter our convictions to adapt to social whims, but we cannot change the gospel or the truth contained within. It's still the cross.
It's still the blood of Calvary
that cleanses sin
and sets the captive free. It's still the name.
City. You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. Our conversation today is on the gospel music industry, kind of breaking it down and pulling back the curtain. Here's Ed Leonard, Rick Shelton, and Donna Beauvais sitting around the table. Our conversation now continues.
And to be fair, we were talking about it off mic a little while ago. There are two or three other major organizations like this that in gospel music, but to look at this model. Is there so there are others out there, but at the same time, has it ever been a threat of being too much of a monopoly to the Nashville scene or the Christian music scene that you do so much all under one umbrella that maybe you don't have to outsource and they're putting people out of work, et cetera?
You know, I think we even go outside now to hire, you know, people that we need for a specific function, even if it's on a temporary basis. You know, we're not taking over the world by any stretch of the imagination. So we do what we do. We work hard. We have a lot of fun. We gather people in our organization that could do anything, could do what they do anywhere else, but they have a calling. And so they come in to our organization and they can live out that calling that God's placed on their lives and work in a professional environment.
Rick Shelton is the director of publishing at Daywind, and so to look at what Rick, you are there probably pretty close to the beginning of a song. I mean, maybe from the point where the writer gets something on paper and thinks it's worthy enough to bring it to your attention. Is that right?
Right, right. And oftentimes, even setting up co-writing sessions to create a song between two writers, either within our company or outside of our company, other publishing companies as well. But yeah, right there at the very beginning, it all starts with a song. That's a saying here in Nashville, and it's honestly the truth. Mm-hmm. And right there at the very beginning, and I mean, what a thrill for me to be able to hear. Kyler Rowland one time said that God creates songs in heaven. He just delivers them through his chosen servants, the songwriters. And to be there when that little blessing from heaven drops to earth, very special, very, very special.
So how do you balance a focused effort of this songwriter and this songwriter, pair them up, you've got 3 hours, come up with something good, versus I'm driving down the street living life or tucking my kids in bed at night, and all of a sudden this line comes to me, and oh, hurry up and write it down before I forget this type of moment. So you've got two. One's more calculated. One is more almost just a godsend or a happenstance type of thing.
Exactly. Songs written under inspiration,
yeah,
and then
right.
songs that are just written because you have the time scheduled for this day. Most of our songwriters, and we have 14 on our staff, some of the most significant songwriters in gospel music, Ronnie Henson and Diane Wilkinson, Gerald Crabb. Most of them write both under inspiration, and then when there's a, for lack of a better word, we call it assignment writing. We know such and such album is coming up and tracking dates on the books, and so they go in a room with the intention of writing something for Legacy 5 or the Booth Brothers or the Perrys.
Ed, since you work with a lot of other styles of music and Christian music, is this something that in the publishing, the songwriting, the team writing and focused effort like that, is that something that is not new to the music scene?
No, I think that's been going on for a while. I think what is different now maybe is the prevalence of the singer-songwriter on the contemporary Christian side. You know, bands are doing it, a lot of it in-house. And so you're seeing on, it's awfully difficult for us to get outside cuts on the contemporary side because a lot of those artists write their own songs either in conjunction with their own band members or they set up assignment writing for themselves, you know, like on the countryside, if you look at Taylor Swift's album, for instance, you'll see her name on every song. Well, you may have co-writers, you know, alongside of her, but she's got a piece of every song, you know, maybe the idea or whatever. That happens in Christian music all the time. Not so much in Southern gospel, with the exception of maybe Rodney Griffin.
Right. Jim Brady does a whole lot of co-writing for the Booth Brothers. He'll write with a gentleman named Tony Wood or Barry Weeks. So it does happen. But it's not as prevalent within Southern gospel music. And something unique about our catalog is we, although our songs feed into the Daywind artist, we also have a great exposure outside of the Daywind artist. A lot of other record labels and a lot of other artists record our songs as well.
I think he's got more number one hits as the publishing company this year than we do as the label.
Absolutely.
Wow.
That
Which
is
I
true.
Guess
that
maybe
is
our
a fact.
Artists should be recording more of our songs.
Yes.
Right?
There you go.
Hey, you'll get a name in from me.
There you go. Absolutely.
That's kind of maybe a misunderstanding out there is that when Rick gets a good song in, he's pitching it to the artist he thinks can best deliver that song. Mm-hmm. Whether that's a Daywind artist or an artist on another label, we don't hoard all of our best stuff, you know, just for our artists. I mean, you know, they're welcome to come in and listen to everything that we have, but Rick is listening for everybody.
I often think that I work for the Southern gospel industry as a whole, and I just happen to sit at Daywind to do it.
Right, exactly. Earl Galloway, I was talking to him last night, and he wrote the song "I've Been Changed" for Legacy 5.
Right.
He told me, he said, I was not thinking Legacy 5 when I wrote it. I was thinking the Perrys. And so I guess maybe you come in as director of publishing, and is this true? Maybe you kind of hear a certain treatment of that song by an artist maybe in mind, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But do you kind of steer it maybe those directions?
Exactly. I love Southern gospel. I'm passionate about it. It's I grew up on it, as so many have. And so I know the artist, and I'm very often blessed myself by their music. And I tend to try to match and put together the right song with the right artist, so it's the maximum effect on the world, the maximum effect on people.
Yeah,
you know,
the real creative process happens there too. And You know, when you get somebody like Rick that is pitching the songs and looking out for artists, and you have an A&R director like Norman Holland who is working with the artists themselves who know their audience better than anybody, and you've got, you know, a professional like Donna who knows radio and knows what radio likes, we all get together and talk about these songs and work with the artists to create the best recording possible. So it's really a neat process.
The church has been silent while the world raised its voice. In loud and angry tones they took the lead. But all across creation there's a rumbling in the hills as the chosen ones of God stand up to make His message known. I'm gonna shout it from the housetops, proclaim it from the mountaintops, tell the world. I'm gonna make a joyful noise. The world will hear my voice. Jesus saves.
The rocks and hills were ready to proclaim the Savior's might, but the Spirit of the Lord said they should wait. You see, God knew His children were ready to march on and proclaim His word through the devil's fate. But the world still tells us daily that God is not alive, and salvation's plan is just a fairy tale. But their lies don't change the truth. Jesus died for you, and the word says His returning can happen any day. I've got to
shout it from the housetops, proclaim it from the mountaintop, tell the world around me Jesus saves. I have made my choice, I'm gonna make a joyful noise. The world will hear my voice, Jesus saves. We have heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all.
Cathedrals here on Daniel, Britt, and Friends. Now, Brian Free and Assurance.
Forever they were banished from their paradise. God passed through Eden's garden gates alone. His compassion wrote the pages, unfolding through the ages, of a love that remains the greatest ever known. For God so loved that He gave His only Son to suffer. For God so loved. praise were heard throughout Jerusalem. As Jesus humbly passed through Zion's gates, then the gloom of Calvary's sorrows dashed hopes of bright tomorrows, when the heart of a loving Father
feminine side of this conversation is that from Michigan, born and raised, maybe Donna Bove. Is that how you pronounce your name, Bove?
Absolutely, that is the perfect pronunciation. And there have been at least 2,982 derivatives.
My favorite is Bubis.
Exactly. I know. There are tons.
And we will affectionately, in our offices, call out your name through the intercom. Donna Bubis is on line 3.
I love it. Well, thank you. Now I know exactly what's going on.
And we have, on several occasions, bit our tongue because it almost slipped out to your face. Well, hello, Donna Bove.
That was kind of Bill Gaither-ish just now.
So producer angle and then radio angle. So you've got some experience in producing, and there are producers, as we talk about the songwriting thing, that come in from all different, not just under the Daywind umbrella, but outside producers come in to produce the artists that you represent. But in the producing side, a lot of people don't understand what that even means when they see producer of an album or a song.
Right.
Basically, it's taking the written notes on a staff on a piece of sheet music, giving it to an artist, and then giving some direction, maybe? Is that
You know, it's interesting. In the day and age that we live, there's so much creativity that takes place that actually, it's not really that the music is written out. A lot of times, especially if anybody's ever heard of the Nashville number system, when we get a chart ready for tracking, which let me kind of take you from the beginning. This is how it works, and I'll put it in the nutshell. I will meet with an artist. We will talk about, like Ed just said, the very best direction for their album. We'll talk about what makes their heartbeat in their ministry. What is their message? What do they really feel led to share? And then we pick the very best songs that we can find. And again, like Ed and Rick said, they're not selfish about these songs for just Daywind artists. I mean, there are Daywind artists that cut these songs. There are other labels. And then there's a lot of folks that are independent that are making great records nowadays are coming in and finding wonderful songs. And we are thankful for those people. We all work together, so we love and appreciate that. But we pick the best songs. Then I usually will get together and pre-arrange, which means we'll kind of choose the direction for the song. And then I work with the instrumentalists on what's called a tracking day, or usually a couple days that take place to cut all the songs for an album. Usually there's about 10 songs on an album. And then I'll work on the vocal arrangements with the group, the background vocals and all of that, and give them everything. My groups now say, now that I've come back and repeated with me, that when I say, I want you to do this ad lib, they say, no, that's a Donna lib. Because I say, do this ad lib, and then we'll do it like this. But anyway... and then they'll lay down all of the vocals on over a few days, and maybe depends on how much time they have.
Right,
we try to give the very best for how much time they're allowed to spend on their album. And I stay with it through the mix and the final master and send it home. So really a producer, and there are many wonderful ones, certainly a lot more wonderful than myself, that create albums from start to finish, really by the grace of God. And I completely concur with Rick. It all starts with a song. It's got to be a good song. And you know what? You can make a half decent song sound okay, and really maybe sound good, but not sound amazing. And so that is so important. And I like what you said about the plan time and the creative time. And I write some myself. And I was thinking when you
said... She's a great writer. She's very good.
Well, when Daniel was saying about, what about the times when you're at, you know, laying there at night with your, you know, and something hits you and a line hits you. I know for me, and I probably can say this for most every songwriter, we write those things down. You should see my notepad and my phone. And then when we do come to the writer's room here at Daywind Publishing, we bring those thoughts together. So kind of in a way, for me, every moment is inspired, you know?
Right.
And definitely these are human beings working on, I'll tell you what, we'll give God all the credit for the good stuff, but we won't blame him for the bad stuff. How about that? You know? But it's a lot of fun. And then for me, I get to also work with these wonderful artists, and I'm honored to do it, to work alongside Ed Leonard and Norman Holland and Rick Shelton and our publicist Danny, and I can't say her last name, and so but she's over here in the corner being quiet because she said she doesn't talk, but anyway, she does talk, but just not on the microphone. Anyway, and a lot of other people that we work with, and I just wanted to say this because this is so important. Ed talked earlier about the song selection and things that go to radio, and I'll tell you what, I know from having previously traveled that when the songs hit the radio and they hit the car radio and somebody pulls over on the side of the road and you get a email from somebody that says, okay, literally my marriage was on the brink of failing and I heard your song and I went home and I decided it was worth fighting for. Or we got one email where someone had actually pulled over to the side of the road and accepted Christ as their Savior.
Wow.
There was a seed and something happened and boom, you know. So I'm a firm believer in a great song. And I will tell you that in our room, we all get together to talk about which single is going to go out first. When Ed Leonard and Norman Holland, who are two of the people that along with Rick Shelton as well, that I admire immensely, not just as co-workers and as the people that are above me in what I do, but their heart as human beings and as my friends. And we listen to songs and tears start to fall and people are moved. That's how we pick songs.
Yeah.
When Ed said it's ministry, he was not kidding.
Yeah.
I've seen it with my own eyes here, and I'm honored to be here and be a part of it.
Donna Bove, producer and radio promoter. We're also sitting around the table with Ed Leonard and Rick Shelton. This is Kind of Gospel Music Industry 101 Talk. Now here's a classic from Janet Paschal.
We're an anchor for those who are hurting. We're a harbor for those who are lost. Sometimes it's not always easy bearing Calvary's cross. We've been who don't know him, and mocked by those who don't believe. Still I love standing up for my Jesus, 'cause of all that he's done for me. That's why the gospel of Jesus Christ. No, I am not afraid to be counted, but I'm willing to give my life. See, I'm ready to be all he wants me to be.
The gospel of Jesus.
Janet Paschal on Daniel Britt and Friends. Boy, it is about the message. And ultimately, that is the purpose of this ministry we call gospel music. But with any successful ministry, you've got to have some smart business skills, business ethics, work ethic, and a lot of practices in place that make it sustainable for all involved. We're having a discussion with Donna Beauvais, radio promoter and producer, and director of publishing for Daywin Records, Rick Shelton, along with the vice chair of the Christian Booksellers Association, the president and chairman of the Gospel Music Association, and the president of Daywin Records, Ed Leonard, around our table. And the conversation picks up here.
Would it be safe to say that as a producer, and I know you have another hat, and we'll get to that in a second, but as producer, you are to an artist in the studio as maybe a tour manager would be to the artist at the venue?
Absolutely. I would say that's very, yes. And you know, really, I love it when I work with a group that has a lot of creative ability themselves, because when you come in with that, you can, it's kind of like if you picture that you just have a plot of ground and you have to build a foundation, or if you already have the foundation of a house built and you get to start to get to the other part. Mm-hmm. When people come in with a little more experience, it, you know, you build even more. And I've worked with a lot of artists who've started with just a plot of land, you know, and we've got to build the foundation. And then over the years, it's grown and grown and grown and gotten stronger. And now we're, you know, we're going to several stories and it's exciting. So I would see it that way. Yes.
I think it's more than that. I think you're the tour manager. Let's talk about a big concert.
Yes.
You're the tour manager. You're the musical director. And then you're the paid vocal coach that comes
yes.
along.
That's right. Exactly. Well, and you know, if I see artists as creative people, obviously that's why they're good at that and cut out for that. So they come in with their own ideas, and they know their voice, and they know their limitations, and they know what they want it to sound like. And so they come in, and it's like a can of silly string. It just gets spewed all out there, and it's up to you to kind of make sense of it and say, these are all wonderful ideas. Here's how we need to prioritize, and
Absolutely.
This is how we need to arrange, orchestrate, all that stuff.
Yes, and trust is a huge part of that. If an artist comes in and they trust you, which obviously if they've hired you, they do, and when that happens, and when they can lay down all of those fears of you know, hurting somebody's feelings or fears of it not being, you know, what they think it should be, and they can just trust, that's when the creativity just explodes and wonderful things happen in the studio. So,
for the guys in the room, looking at Donna as a symbol of a producer, would you say that artists are the most vulnerable when they're in the hands of a producer?
Oh, definitely.
Yes, absolutely.
And I've seen different reactions to different producers, you know, over the years. And, you know, I almost think that an artist who goes into a studio without a producer, without somebody that can hold them accountable, really push them for, you know, to get the best performance out that they can, is really selling themselves short. Yeah. You know, if you go to the YMCA and you go to one of those trainers there or whatever and get them to help you lift weights, obviously I need to do that more, but but if you were, if one were to do that.
Yeah.
If one were to do that.
I'll trust you to tell me all about it.
you would find that that they would get you to do I would guess 25% more than you would otherwise do yourself. It's a very rare person that can push themselves to 100% of their
Absolutely.
Potential true. In a situation. And the same thing is true in the studio.
Yes.
You've got to have somebody that's going to push you to do that extra 25% better, whether it be singing it again and again and again, or trying something different, or taking a break and coming back at it another time.
That's right.
You know, getting the best out of you. Is what a producer does.
That's right. And how much can you appreciate that your record company president is so in tune with everybody's role that he just perfectly described that? Because that
exactly.
is so true. That's exactly.
exactly.
I mean, I kind of describe it, sometimes I'm a cheerleader. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, you know, there's like different things you have to do. I have to be a teacher, you know, all those things. And he just nailed it by that description, that exercise workout. I need a trainer too.
Now here's the Gaither Vocal Band.
Was a life filled with aimless desperation, without hope walked the shell of a man. Then a hand
a nail print stretched downward. Just one touch, then a new life began. And the old rugged cross made a difference in a life bound for heartache and defeat. I will praise Him for without hope, death has wrapped them in gloom. But at the side of a saint there's rejoicing, for life can't be sealed in a tomb. Oh, and the old rugged cross made the difference in a life bound for heartache and defeat.
Aether Vocal Band. You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. Here now, the Booth Brothers.
My life, I've got to stand and
Brothers. We're talking Music Industry 101 on Daniel Britt and Friends.
While we're talking about this kind of describing, how is Daywind, what is your relationship overall with the artist? I used to think that the record company called a lot of the shots, but it seems to be that the artist, the group, the band, whatever, is its own entity, and it is, in a way, kind of sovereign, and it makes its own decisions about most things. But it defers to the record company for the next project, the production of an album, the marketing of an album. How closely is maybe artist management with what you guys do?
I think we're a record label and we're an artist manager. We just don't get paid for the artist management part. I mean, that, you know, in other forms of music, mm-hmm. you know, managers get, you know, 10-15% of the of all that the artist brings in because of the opportunities that they provide. You know, helping them along in their career. And I'm not saying that we don't babysit 24 hours a day like maybe a manager would. So we wouldn't be entitled to that kind of money, but we do make opportunities for our artists available that a manager would do.
Like publicity.
Publicity would be one, although a label is really responsible for that and sure. radio promotion. But in terms of, you know, special appearances, opportunities that they might not otherwise get, television things, you know, it's
And there are booking agents that is another part of this whole of an artist makeup, right? I mean, you've got
right, but they don't operate as managers most of the time. They book their dates, and then that's pretty much it. Mm-hmm. It's very rare to find that situation. But I would say, to your point about what a label does and the artist as sovereign, I think it just depends on who the artist is and at what point in their career they came mm-hmm. alongside a label or a label came alongside of them. We do everything from virtually everything for an artist to the artist doing most of the stuff for themselves, and we just come in like you described. Mm. So it's really on some sort of just a scale, you know, as to what we do.
How much
it
they need
really runs the gamut, and how much they need. You know?
How much they need, yeah, because a lot of times they have. It depends on I think it's like personalities and experience, because a lot of times artists come in who have a lot of years behind them, and we're completely willing to partner and do whatever they need. But sometimes there are areas they have covered that another artist may not have covered, and we're jumping in, whatever that is. If they can't cover it, we want to be there to help them, facilitate them in any way.
We don't leave it undone. That's a good way to put it.
Right.
And you know, even artists that are established, the ones that you would think would be the most independent-minded, we're doing everything ourselves, even them, they will at times come back and say, look, we really want your direction more than we've gotten it in the past. And it kind of goes in a cycle.
Yes.
You know, and those are the times when, you know, it's kind of like a kid coming to their parent and saying, hey, can I get some advice on this? You know, how good does that make a parent feel, right?
Right, right.
Not
exactly.
That we necessarily know more than they do, but just that they would ask us is a nice thing.
Well, there's wisdom in counsel of many.
Wisdom and ideas and bouncing it back and forth.
Yeah, and sometimes they're too close to the situation. Mm-hmm. It's too much stress for them. They have the whole weight of that entire, that is their career as well as their ministry, and they need somebody who's kind of standing back to look and say, hey, maybe if you try this. And that's what these guys I've watched so much be so wonderful at. And
It's really a culture of service at Daywind. We're servants. Mm-hmm. We serve our artists. We serve our writers. And by doing that, then we're serving the church.
Yeah.
And we just want to serve where the service is needed.
That's right.
Before we move off this topic, I don't want to set you up with a question that is unfair or that puts you in an awkward position, but when we talked about booking agents really don't manage, you said, like a manager in a secular sense would. So comparing gospel music's booking agents with booking agents of other genres, is it kind of an apples and orange type of thing? Our booking agents have just a totally different role than other booking agents in the secular world? if you're trying to say a producer is this, no matter what genre, a record label is this, no matter what genre, well, then what does a booking agent look like in other aspects of music?
I would say it looks exactly the same. I mean, the booking agents I know on the countryside and the booking agents on the gospel side handle their responsibilities in the very same way, and they don't go beyond their scope. But what is different is that in the, on the countryside, that artist will have a booking agent, they'll have a manager, they'll have a business manager, okay, that takes kind of the accountant, right? Mm-hmm. They'll have a tour manager, you know, for each tour that they go out on. And then they may have several other people that do different functions for them. And on the gospel side, you basically have the artist, the label, the booking agent, and that's it. So it makes it much more difficult for them, you know. But then again, you know, they really do have a great grasp on who their audience is, why they're out there, and what the opportunities are before them. They could benefit from, you know, overall management, I think, but there's a give and take there, you know.
Ed Leonard, Vice Chair of the Christian Booksellers Association, Chairman and President of the Gospel Music Association, and President of Daywind Records. We're talking Music Industry 101 on Daniel Britt and Friends.
So many times I've questioned certain circumstances or things I could not understand. Many times in trials, weakness blurs my vision, and my frustration gets so out of hand. It's then I am reminded I've never been forsaken. I've never had to stand the test alone. As I look at all the victories, the Spirit rises up in me. Through the fire, my weakness is made strong. He never promised that the cross would not be heavy and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered victories without fighting, but he said he'll put. In the valley of decision, and the adversary says, give in, just hold on. Our Lord will show up, and He will take you through the fire again. I know within myself that I would surely perish, but if I trust the hand of God, He'll shield the flames again, again. He never promised that the cross would not get heavy.
The Crab Family, featuring the lead vocals of Jason Crab. We're putting a bookmark here at the end of part one of this series. We have two additional parts. It's going to be three parts in total with our conversation of the Music Industry 101 gospel music style, so that you as the fan can understand exactly how the processes work, how your favorite artists survive and feed their families, and who all else is involved outside of the singers and songwriters who are traditionally at the forefront of gospel music. Keep up to date with the schedule of what's coming up next on the show at danielbritt.com. That's at danielbritt.com. Connect to Twitter and Facebook there as well. See you next week.
Listening to Daniel Britt and Friends, each week Daniel brings you exciting music, conversation, and news updates from the world of Southern Gospel. You can hear many of the interviews again online at danielbritt.com. Make a date next week for Daniel Britt and Friends.